You're listening to Hottery Humble.
Hello there.
Wow.
Welcome, welcome to episode 10 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle. Thanks so much for joining me today. So here we are, folks. Off a bye week. Don't have a football game to discuss. Kind of felt good to wake up on Saturday and know that nothing bad was going to happen today. We can just enjoy a normal day. Get some projects done around the house. Take it easy. Go have brunch. Do some nice things. It's going to be a good day. No drama, no disappointment. In fact, absolutely nothing bad happened. No decommitments from football. Hey, it was just a normal Saturday, and that's a great thing. The football team seems to have healed up. I can't even remember a player who's still hurt, to be honest. I think we're going to be at full force this weekend against Kentucky. Should be a good game. I'll be there. I'm excited to drive up there this weekend and watch a game with my own two eyes. Should be fun. Should be cold. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout of fans and we can support the Hogs and they can get their first SEC victory in the Chad Morris era. We've got some Razorback hockey coming up this weekend, Friday night. Against Missouri State, their rival. Hopefully some of y'all can go out and make it to that game, support the Razorback hockey team. So it should be a fun week of multiple sports here. We got a little hockey, got a little football. And of course, last weekend, we got our first taste of the Musselman era in the red-white game at Barnhill Arena. And I wasn't able to go. Didn't want to make that drive here from Middle Tennessee, but as y'all all know, I have Chad, my friend Chad, who's always on the podcast, was able to attend, and so gave him a call, and we got into that a little bit, and he'll let you know his thoughts and his takeaways from that game, and we'll get right into it. Enjoy.
Hey, Tommy. How's it going?
Hey, Chad. Pretty good. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am fantastic. Fall weather is here, so I'm happy. My body's happy. No more 90 degrees.
Excellent. So yeah, same here. Great. Today's kind of our first nice chilly. It's not really chilly. When the seasons change, you always feel like that first slightly cold day is like super cold. So you're like wearing a coat and it's like 65 degrees. Yeah. But yeah, what's the temp like
it's
there?
It's not cold. Yeah, I mean, this morning it was probably in the 50s, but it got up to like 60 or 70. And it's incredible. Like going to work and you just see scarves, you see fall, like leggings, you see coats, sweaters, sweater vests. I'm like, come on, like... Get out of control here.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Still in the 70s.
I always think, and then like when winter or spring turns to summer, you know, and there's that first day when it gets to be like 55 outside, all of a sudden people are like in their shorts and it's 55 degrees. And you're like, what the world?
I remember a friend and me, Jason, shout out, we're walking a trail and it was like mid 60s, lower 70s. It was a nice day. And a guy's like, running with his shirt off, and we're just like, come on, like, too far,
people.
Not that hot yet.
I have heard that this upcoming game this Saturday against Kentucky football is going to be a bit chilly. I'm planning on trying to make it to that game, and I think it's going to be a little bit cold.
I'm glad you're going. I am a little jealous, not of the travel over there. That's not too bad of a trip for you, would be for me, but That'll be fun. 0% chance that Hogs come out with a win.
Zero.
But, you know, go ahead and enjoy it. So, I mean, they're dedicated to Jared Lorenzen. So, you know how that goes.
Yeah, I do. There seems to be a lot of quarterback controversy with Kentucky. I still honestly don't even know who it's. I haven't paid enough attention to know exactly who it's going to be. I don't really care.
Doesn't matter.
That's what I was going to point out. Probably it doesn't matter because the person that they put in is going to have a career day against us probably on Saturday. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, San Jose State. So, I mean, you saw what that guy did.
True. I honestly think we'll play pretty good. I think we have a 50-50 chance of winning. Personally, I know you probably, most probably don't, but that's kind of just, that's definitely a little bit of Arkansas bias there. I know that too. But it should be a fun game. I don't think the crowd, we'll see how the crowd is. You know, it's kind of like, it'd be fun to see how many Arkansas fans show up, honestly. That's what I'm excited about. I might try to, you know, knock on the door of Rupp Arena just to say I've done it. I don't know. We'll see. I've never been there before. I don't think it's going to impress me all that much just from the outside, but we'll just see what.
No, not from the outside.
You know, we'll see what the university's like, you know, walk through it a little bit and see if it's piques my interest at all, and I'll report back.
Please do.
Well, cool. So I know that you were in attendance to the Arkansas Red-White basketball game last Saturday. And you got to see, you know, Barnhill Arena in all its glory there. You got to get in a picture that I've got to post out somewhere so y'all can see. But, yeah, what was that like, man? Did you have fun?
Yeah, we had a blast. We took my four-year-old son. We went to Barnhill Arena. Actually got there like an hour early. A little outrageous. I don't know why I got there so early, but we did. We ended up sitting like in the student section. It was like marked off, but like one of the guys was like, you can go sit down there. So I was like, okay,
cool.
Wasn't a lot of students down there, but whenever we got there, but yeah, we were like on the front row. It was really cool. Yeah, you gotta send that picture out. It's there's a couple of us there. I think we're even on the news, but Barnhill was really cool. It was actually a really good attendance. I've been to a few Red White games, never to that capacity as many people have been there that I've been. It's always been pretty scarce and like no one's really into the game, but I mean, Nolan was there. Eddie Sutton was there. It's a really cool atmosphere. Fans are into it, wearing throwback stuff, and there's some throwback music on, and it was really cool. And of course they still play volleyball there, so it's still in pretty good shape, but it was a fun environment and my son had a good time. But looking at the team and trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to look this year? Right. Trying to break that down a little bit. What's most discouraging is that the tallest guy that we have, Connor Vanover, right. He's 7'3", super uncoordinated.
Yes.
But great jumper. I don't think he's going to be eligible to play. Right. Cause he has, a transfer rule.
Yeah, it doesn't seem
about an exception.
Doesn't seem likely at this point.
Doesn't look good. Although, I think, I mean, on defense, he would give us some rebounding presence. On offense, he's kind of hanging out on the perimeter, which would spread things out a little bit because you'd have to actually guard him. So it would take the big man out of the middle. But neither here nor there for this year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Really small. Like, the team is rebounding is going to be a frustrating point from every fan, I feel like, this year. I feel like we went through that with Mike Anderson's teams, but this team is not going to rebound very well. I mean, I saw Adriel Bailey, who is not one of our bigger guys, but he's a senior now, and he knows where to be at. I mean, he's grabbing boards over Reggie Chaney and some of our quote-unquote big guys, right? So that's going to be frustrating this year. There's also going to be a point, and I remember this with Anderson's team, we just go stretches for like 10 minutes where we wouldn't score a field goal. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Where we'd go like these long stretches and we just haven't scored and everyone's just off. And you kind of saw it. The white team, I don't think, I mean, the red team jumped out to like a 20-6 lead and the white team just couldn't hit anything. And they were just pulling threes. I think Desi Sills missed like four threes in a row. And I think you're going to see a little bit of that just because we're small and we're going to be shooting a a lot. So those are two big frustrating things that I've carried over the past like 10 years, I feel like are going to continue. So those, that's kind of the downer piece of the segment, but the, like the things that get you excited about, Jimmy Witt, his shiftiness and his ability to get to the hole is incredible. Like it was good as a freshman and he is able to get in there. And so he has improved a ton. His jump shot has remained as it was as a freshman, but he did not shoot any jumpers like in actual gameplay.
But it's, and by still that, kinda, you mean it's a good jumper or a poor jumper?
I mean, he made them. It's just an ugly looking shot. Like, I feel like he's shooting like from below his chin is what it looks like. It's, oh, the best way. It's just weird.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't think it's something he's going to be able to get off in a game. But again, he wasn't shooting a bunch like during the scrimmage. But man, he could get to the hole. So Isaiah Joe, oh my gosh, like his shot's just as beautiful as always. Like I was so excited. I was on the end to watch him warm up and I just watch him pulling threes. Like that guy's shooting motion is beautiful. So I try to tell my son like, hey, watch this guy shoot. He had no idea what I was talking about, but
yeah,
it was, yeah, he was, I think he shot 50%.
Nice. So,
He's still got it from behind the arc. Jalen Harris looks really good. Very shifty.
Interesting. And, how was his shot? Did he pull up from the three very much? I know that's probably something that
he didn't shoot a lot.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But he did a great job of just distributing the ball. And I feel like the guys had a good chemistry among themselves. Obviously, it's a new system. And another thing you could tell there was actual plays like drawn up, right? Instead of just, hey, spread out and go really fast and try to score. Like you could tell there was structure, which was nice to see. But with that structure, it's going to take a little bit of time to like have the players get used to that.
Yeah.
And so there were some pretty dumb turnovers, right? And that's just kind of, it's not a natural feel for them, I feel like. So there were some pretty dumb turnovers. It's going to take time for them to get used to. So, but yeah, it was fun. Like that's kind of what I took away from it. There's going to be some really frustrating turnovers. There's going to be some very poor rebounding. Our free throw shooting is going to be improved though.
Hallelujah. Very good. I was going to ask about that.
So bad. Last year free throws were so bad, but you know, we don't have those liabilities out there anymore who are just like, this guy just goes to the free throw line. Like we're just not going to make it. So, We had some looks of like some four guard looks out there. So I think we're gonna have to play small. So we're just gonna see how that works out.
Okay. So let me ask you a few questions. We actually have not talked about it at all since you went.
Nope.
So I'm gonna ask Chad my typical questions that I would ask. Okay. So I was watching a little bit of it from ES Pinto, if you know what I'm talking about. Pinto,
yeah.
One of the guys I highlighted as the best Arkansas personalities to follow on Twitter.
And I started following him after he said that.
Excellent.
Yeah, I completely agree. He's a great, and some of the tweets he likes really make me laugh a lot.
Exactly. He's good. So he, I don't even know what to call it. Periscope, I guess is what you call it. But, you know, I don't even know if that's technically okay, but anyways, he does it. You can watch it. I'm sure it's fine. So I watched a little bit of it, and it's kind of hard to tell from, you know, a video from the stands exactly to get a good reaction or reality. So I was going to ask you, one of my takeaways from the bit I watched, maybe it was one of those drought periods, but it seemed slow, almost sluggish, the part that I watched. There were a few exciting moments, but it just seemed like it seemed a lot more sluggish than I was anticipating. Did you feel that from the sidelines? Did you think the ball had good crisp movement to it and people kind of knew what they were doing, or did it feel like to you it was brand new and they were kind of struggling with it a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's part of that growing pains and just getting into like an actual offensive set where, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about Mike Anderson's system because it was fun. Like they had some really fun moments, especially with Gafford and Portis and like, you know, you running a gun and like you're going to try to go to transition all the time. But that was, yeah, there's definitely some points where I don't think they're just used to getting that offensive set going. And I think there's going to be, some growing pains within that. But yeah, it was a little bit slower. But I think once they get that figured out, and once you find, we're able to find Isaiah Joe shots right through an offensive play and a scheme, instead of just trying to get them transition threes, which work. But like, if you actually get something set up to where we're running screens, like there are a lot of ball screens I noticed for Joe. And so it's kind of like, you remember watching Reggie Miller growing up, like he's running through like three different screens to get open. And like, that's what you need to do to get your shooter there. And so like before, it was just kind of like, do a lot of fast, crisp passes, just like until you kind of mess everybody up, then pull, you know, or transition, which is fun, but it's also, you know, really dumb turnovers and dumb shots taken from that. So I feel like once they get used to it, what's nice is we, you know, have those non-conference games where we can kind of get through some of it. They're really going to benefit that from that this year.
Got it. So as far as the players, you know, on the court, how they looked, like their physical body, not how they played, but how they looked. I've heard that Mason Jones is a little bit trimmer this year, lost some weight. Connor Vanover just looks gangly as you can at 7'3". He just looks he looks uncoordinated. I'm sure he's got the shot and stuff, but he kind of has that look to him, at least from in my opinion. Was there anybody who, Desi Sills too, he seems like he might have kind of hit the gym pretty hard, you know, in the off season, and might have put on a little bit of, you know, body mass, maybe is the better way to phrase it. Anybody stood out to you from like a physical body? Wow, this guy looks like he's stronger or slower or faster, anything like that?
Ethan Henderson looked pretty good. Like, you didn't really get to see him. He's kind of a taller guy. He looked fast out there. Desi Sills seemed to have put on some muscle in the off season. And I mean, I did forget about Mason Jones. He looked good out there. He's one too who can just get to the hoop. And I feel like you got three guys who can just get in and score between Jimmy Witt, Mason Jones, and Jalen Harris. Like, they can cut and they can get to the basket. And that's super important, especially if you're able to drive in and then dish it out to Isaiah Joe for a jumper. Like, those guys can do it. Outside of that, I mean, I'm curious to see what Ethan Henderson can do. Like, he seemed fast and athletic, and I feel like Adriel even kind of bulked up a little bit, and I feel like he gets those smart rebounds, and I feel like Arkansas has been on the other side of those where, like, we should get this rebound. Why are we not getting this rebound? Because this guy somehow get this angle, this weird angle at the hoop, and is able to get the ball. Adriel did that several times and was impressive to me. So, and he also got up on a pretty good little dunk too. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, the physical piece of it's not going to be what's going to impress you about this team this year. It's just because, again, just really small. So it's going to have its ups and downs. I feel like we'll beat a few teams we're not supposed to. Tournament wise, that's always a tough, you know, like, that's the question. Are we going to make tournament this year? I think they have the talent and ability to do it. It's just, there's no telling. My gut and the pessimist in me is like, no, this isn't going to make a team that's going to make the tournament just because of our size. But it could surprise me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. After actually seeing them play for a little bit, you kind of see those growing pains, and you're like, okay, yeah, we might not hit the ground running like I envisioned it. You know, like us actually running plays, it's all going to work so well. You know, Musselman's going to call the, you know, it's going to be great. And it's like, well, in reality, these players have to execute. And they're not going to execute at the beginning. It's going to take some time. Yeah. And it's probably a team, will probably be a team that starts out slow and gains momentum, which we'll see how that works. You know, sometimes that works out. And if we gain the right momentum at the right time and get the right push, hey, we could potentially be a tournament team. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think it's out of the question, but we don't know. You know, nobody knows. Oh, so it's almost like we can talk about it, but it really just depends on how we play and how we execute. And we'll know a lot better once we get into SEC play and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there is a risk that you're going to, you could drop a bad non-conference loss. Like I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Like a team we shouldn't lose to, it could happen. And so I just feel like don't overreact, especially in basketball. Cause I mean, that can happen. And especially with a new team and a new coach, but you're right. Like they could get things going. Like again, like the talent's there. You have an elite shooter in Isaiah Joe. And I mean, I'm not saying that lightly. I mean, if you look, compare his numbers to Rodney Clark, you compare it to anybody at the University of Arkansas, Scotty Thurman, like this guy is an elite shooter. So when you have that, like you always have a chance. And so they definitely could put it together and get to the tournament. So just don't get discouraged by a bad non-conference loss. It could happen, but they'll give you some flashes where they're going to be an exciting team to watch. So I'm excited about that.
Excellent. Well, I'm still excited. So seeing Musselman on the court, did you see anything from his demeanor? Did he yell at players? Was he cool? I think I saw a tweet by maybe John Neighbors about him.
Pants?
Calling a time. Oh, the pants were cool. Yeah, the timeout with like, he just called a really random timeout and chewed out the players for not like lining up in the for free throw rebounding stuff correctly or something. I don't know. Did you see anything like that was noteworthy for you?
Where my seat was, I couldn't see him because of where the basketball goal was. But he's doing things like, I like the way he's, I mean, it has nothing to do with wins and losses at this point, but you could tell there's some thoughtful consideration going behind. I mean, having the red white game on a football bye week, you know, like that was so smart, you know, and like having in that Barnhill when everyone said, oh, we can't have it at Barnhill. It's like, that's awesome. You know, we're getting the naming the court session over Nolan is happening at like the game against Little Rock, you know, that we're playing we're actually playing Little Rock this year.
Very cool.
It's like, you know, like it's these things. It's like, he gets it, you know,
little
like
mm-hmm.
This wouldn't have happened, you know, previously. And so I don't know how much he's involved. I'm sure he's involved with some of that, but I feel like just doing, cause I remember just things would happen. Like, why are we doing this? You know? And it's like, how much of that translates into like actual on court coaching, right? Maybe
right.
Programmed. They just didn't care about certain little things, but I don't know, you know, maybe it'll translate over to like, you know, some little things in the game, like being able to hit free throws or, not turning it over. Hey, there's 20 seconds left in the game. Maybe we should run a play to try to get the go-ahead goal. So I don't know. It's stuff like that that it makes me encouraged for the future. And he's definitely trying to get some big name recruits. So that's exciting.
Ooh, yes, definitely. That's probably one of the biggest changes that I've witnessed or seen, observed lately, is just the amount of top recruits that we're actually offering and going after. It's like, I feel like it's all of them, you know, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a new name every day got an offer and he's a top 50 player. And I felt like before it would be like, we would offer one top 50 player a class, you know, it wasn't their style. You know, it was more choosing the right guys for the style. And this is more just, doesn't matter what you are. It just matters your talent, and he'll figure out a way to utilize you and make you get to the pros. It seems like it's his approach. So it'll be interesting.
How many times have we heard that though across basketball and football? Oh, we got to get the right guy for our fit. No, just go get the best guys and then you make them work.
Yes. Isn't that, shouldn't that be what a good coach is able to do? Right. Don't you
think
you can make that happen? You know, like outside of sports, if you have a company or just any arena of life, you would think that bringing in the best talent, period, you could, if you're a good manager or coach, that you could make it all work, right?
Yeah, tailor your scheme a little bit. It's like, all right, who do I have? Maybe we should shift a little bit. Like, nope, this is what we do. Not changing.
We run fast, and it's the fastest 40. But all the stats do not show that, by the way. We just call it that because it makes us feel good.
Oh man, it made no sense for that name. It's zero sense.
Zero.
I'm glad we're moving on. I mean, again, I liked Mike, but I'm just glad we're moving on from like, hey, this is Nolan part two, because it was not at all.
So it just wasn't working, and it's okay to move on at the right time. And I think we'll see that we moved on at the pretty much the perfect time, I feel like.
Yeah. You know what's crazy too? I think we talked about this before, but we didn't really have many people transfer. Do we have anybody transfer out when we got Musselman? Which is, I mean, pretty incredible if you think about it. When Mike came on and Pelfrey came on, I mean, we had people leaving. I remember Rodney Clark leaving when mm-hmm. Mike got here, and no one left. So I don't either. A, that means no one else wanted our guys, which I don't think is the case.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case either.
Or B, like, because I remember Reggie Chaney kind of talking about it a little bit. And I remember Mike Anderson would have at least one to two guys transfer a year.
Yes.
And it would be so frustrating because, like the next year is your year. Like, Nick Babb, like, you were about to be the starting shooting guard. Like, why are you leaving?
Yes.
Darius Hall. Like, next year was your year. Why are you leaving? So, like, it was impressive to me the 1 year we didn't have a transfer. So got a new coach. It's like, that's interesting. So, something to noodle on there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally with you. I think we've always talked about that in the past where you couldn't ever predict how the team would be the year after because you pegged all these guys. Oh, yeah, so this guy's been on the team. Okay, now he's getting a starting role. Yeah, we can count on him. Nope, what? Why in the world? You know? So I know exactly what you're saying. That was always the weirdest thing.
And think about it. They've got to sit out a year. Like, they're willing to sit out a year of not playing basketball just to leave. Weird.
Very, very weird. Well,
and
we actually got one back.
We got one back this year.
I know. That's probably the weirdest thing. Yeah, he's like, I really wanted to stay, guys. I really liked the team, but just wasn't going to work for me. One thing that I thought's interesting to think about, imagine where we'd be if Mike Anderson hadn't have been fired with this team. Like, where would our expectations, what would we be thinking going into this season? You know, I know that the team's different because of the transfers we've brought in, like Jimmy Witt and I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Giantel Silla. You know, I think there's other transfer, but he's kind of reshaped the team in new ways, but I guess we possibly would have had Justice Hill on the team, possibly. I don't know.
I guess we did lose Justice Hill. That is one, but he didn't really play.
I don't even know if he's technically gone anywhere, so he's not really a transfer.
He is at a JUCO.
Okay. Yeah. That's just
and
a weird one.
He got an offer from, I forgot. It's a D1 school. It was like Washington State or something. So
gotcha.
I mean, I was really excited when Justice Hill committed when he was like a freshman or whatever. It's like, oh, this guy's like the real deal. But I mean, Musselman, I guess, was very clear on his communication to him. He didn't see it, obviously.
Yep.
So, but yeah, you're right. I think this team would be really bad if Mike was here. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but we would have been in trouble.
And we know that he probably would have been above 500 wins. We could probably have predicted that, but
history tells us that.
Not a win more. It would have been exactly 500.
Yeah. I was kind of tired of seeing that stat, too.
Yeah, I know. He's fine.
Never had a season under 500.
So, let's transition just a tad bit to a different sport. So, I guess that's more than a tad. Let's transition to football a bit. And before we start talking a little bit of Kentucky, let's talk Urban Meyer, because he made a little bit of a splash today. He had a Little Rock Touchdown Club speaking engagement that he participated in, and it seems like the one statement that he made that is most people are talking about, or the main thing that people are talking, their takeaway from it. And Chad, I don't even know if you've heard it yet, but I'm going to lay it on you, and I'm going to let you react to it. So one of his statements, I didn't even hear the question. All I know is that everybody's pulling this quote of what he said. He said, Arkansas is a 10-win program. That's what he said. That's where he pegged Arkansas. React. What do you think about that?
Well, I got a couple questions. 10-win program, like it should be a 10-win program, or it is currently a 10-win program? What was the context?
I'm sure it is in the sentences it should before be. And after. Like, when you look at Arkansas football, it should win 10 games a year.
Okay.
That's Urban Meyer's opinion. I don't even know if you'd call it an educated opinion, but it's an opinion, that's for sure.
Let me tell you, let's just do a little history lesson on Urban Meyer, okay? He is a liar. So think about it. he lied about it. The whole, how did he get fired? Because he lied to his about the whole assistant coach thing. He's like, I'm sure he lied a ton at Florida, right? I mean, you saw some of those players that went through that program. He's a liar. So, like, I feel like he is just feeding into what did the people want to hear? Like, I'm going to just say that. I feel like that's all that he was. That's all that I'm reading into that. That's the first I'd heard that, but I mean, what is he basing it off of? Our talent on our roster or offensive line play or play calling?
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with our current coaches or anything that they decide to do or not do.
I mean, if it's because it's Arkansas and they have like a good recruiting base out of Texas and we should get talent from there and that we have fans that are passionate that are, yeah, Arkansas should be a 10-win team. That's fine, but that's just for anyone to be at a regular 10-win team in the SEC is just, that's an outlandish statement for anyone not named Alabama, you know?
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I agree. You know, 10,
it's garbage.
Yeah, 10 wins is really good. I know that might sound to people in other conferences, getting 10 wins might sound like kind of average or not that, but for Arkansas to get 10 wins, that would be huge. That'd be enormous.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have we seen a 10-win season in our lifetime?
In our lifetime?
Yeah.
I don't know. Not many. I know we won 11 games with Tyler Wilson.
On one hand.
Yeah, for sure. Probably in our lifetime, probably just, yes, for sure on one hand. Maybe just one finger. No, two fingers. Both. Yeah, yes, exactly. It's not many.
I'm talking about regular season. Yeah, two fingers.
So I tried to get more context here, and I can't find a question that they asked him. This might have just been kind of in a, you know, what do you call it when somebody just speaks and it just goes on and on, not prompted by a question in the middle of a speech. But he said he kind of is just remembering Arkansas, apparently, is kind of the main thing. So he said, coaches care about one thing, winning. And how do we win? You recruit. If you can't recruit the best of the best of the best, you can be Newt, which I guess is Rockne. I don't even know what that means. And it's not going to happen for you. You need players. This is not the NFL. I think that's Chad Morris's challenge. Petrino got it going. To me, this is a 10-win program. This, to me, once again, the Arkansas that I remember and that I know. Are you kidding me? It's Arkansas. But I don't know the challenges. So Arkansas is now playing South Carolina and in Gainesville. They're playing teams over there as opposed to here. I've never talked to Chad about it, never talked to anyone about it, but that's just my opinion. Okay. So,
whatever.
Yeah. Ultimately, probably just kind of one of those whatever things. He's basically just cherry picking when Arkansas was at their best and saying, yeah, I think that they're like that, right?
I guess.
But Petrino definitely did not get it going through recruiting on, really. I mean...
Yeah, I was just about to say that Petrino did not recruit. Like, he had some in-state studs there. He got Ryan Mallett, I guess you can call that recruiting. But
yeah, that felt more just. I guess you could say he did that, but I don't even know if I would give him credit for that. And of course, he got the wide receivers. You know, Joe Adams, Greg Childs, Jarius Wright, and in-state guys. They weren't highly – Joe Adams was, the highest rated of them. And, you know, other than that, they weren't super, super high rated. You know, they were just kind of athletes, and they turned out to be all-star type talents. So, yeah, again, Petrino and recruiting do not go hand in hand.
And I remember his bad recruiting classes, and it'd be like, oh, it's okay, it's system guys. We'd always hear that. It's okay, they're a three-star. Well, he fits perfect in the system. He's a system guy. Stop.
Yes, we just want good players, please. I don't care about the system. All right, final thing for today. So the reason I'm asking this is because I really feel like this event happened and no one cared. And it's almost a sad thing. But Arkansas got a basketball commitment for 2021, and I don't feel like anybody has really cared. I don't know why. He's a pretty decent four-star type of player, And it's like, it's just nothing. I even saw on Twitter that the guy was like, hey, can any of the Arkansas fans like give me an edit so that I can have like something to post? And it's like, sure. Yeah, man, we'll get you one. Like everybody was, and it's like, wow, we kind of dropped the ball. Maybe he just announced or committed at a weird time. I don't know what's the deal, but
I know struggle with being 2 years out though. Well, I mean, like 2021, that's a long time from now.
It is. It is. And it is a weird thing because when you look up this guy's highlights, a lot of the highlights are from when he's a freshman because he's currently working on new highlights and stuff. And I think he's just a sophomore. So it's like you're seeing somebody a freshman.
It's like this guy needs to get with like, needs to get some connections and like highlight videos and like, come on, man, like get together.
It's just a weird thing. So I asked you about this guy before the call. I was like, hey, let's talk about Duncan Powell. And you're like, who in the world is that? So you know nothing about him. Nope. I am going to text you right now a video of his highlights. Okay. I know you've never seen him before. I want you to give me kind of like you can even let the sound be playing in the background for all I care. I want you to give me a little give me your thoughts and reactions. Give me some live feedback about him. What are you thinking? Does he get you excited?
Got some nice jerseys. Little post presence down here. Got some good moves. Everyone needs to watch this. Whoa! Oh yeah. Is this his freshman year?
Yes. He's a freshman.
Whoa. He has some really good post moves. He's huge for a freshman. And he's taking it to the rack. Great jersey too. Love the colors. He's rebounding, so I feel like that is an immediate need of what we currently have. You know what he feels like? You remember Bobby Portis, and I hate to compare people to people who are really successful at Arkansas, but Bobby would get the ball in the lane, and it wasn't always like, I mean, he was so shifty, he would get it, and you know he was going to score. Like, if he got the ball on the block, you're like, Bobby P scoring. Like, you felt good about it. It reminded me of that. His post move at a freshman is down there, and yeah, that's a pretty good little highlight reel. And people like to get excited about highlight reels of like, you know, Malik Monk type, right? Of high flying dunks, and yeah, that's exciting. But at the same time, like this guy, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm actually looking up where he grew up or where he's from. Okay, that's what I thought. So he's originally from DeSoto, Texas, which I don't know Texas very well, so I'm not exactly sure where that is. But apparently he's playing at Huntington Prep in Huntington, West Virginia. So I was like, that seems weird that he would, like a West Virginia guy is committing to us. No, he's from Texas originally. He's listed as 6 foot seven.
I guess he's playing against power forward.
So
but still, that's pretty good size.
Yeah, but then again, he probably won't grow much. I'm assuming that, you know, even as a freshman, you still have some room to grow. Who knows? Maybe he'll grow a little bit. But I was kind of impressed by his. I thought he had a nice jumper too. Like he looked very smooth. I loved the comparison to Bobby Portis because I know exactly what you're talking about. He would catch the ball and just post up and just maneuver, you know, spin. He would find ways to get closer to the hoop. And, you know, even Bobby looked a little uncoordinated with his jump shot. You know, he didn't have the prettiest jump shot. I almost feel like this guy's got a little bit better jump shot already.
Good stroke there, good form. So I thought it looked really good. And I feel like we tried to compare Gafford to Portis, but Gafford was not at all the same player that Portis was. But he was so exciting in the transition game. Like, he was so much fun in that. And, like, he was kind of he always fell. It really worried me. Like, I feel like,
yes,
like, Gafford, you're gonna get hurt, man. Like, he did.
How did he not get hurt? That's the more important question. He felt always like he was falling on the floor, so close like, every game.
And his post moves, I feel like he held on to it a little too long sometimes. I mean, Gafford was great, but just wasn't like Bobby. Bobby got it in there and like, he's scoring. He's scoring quick, too, and I love that. So that's what it reminded me of. Yeah, he did have a good jumper. He had a much better-looking jumper than what Portis did.
Well, cool. Yes. The main reason I wanted to bring that up was just because nobody's talking about that guy, and I don't know why. But hey, be proud of the guy. Let's follow him on Twitter. Let's show him some love. Do all that good stuff. Let's get excited about him. I think we're not used to these far out commitments. I honestly think that's what it is. You know, other big programs, they get kids committing when they're sophomore. Like they it's a normal thing. They commit really early. But we're not used to that for some reason. And so, hey, let's get on the bandwagon. Let's root for them. Let's support them and get excited about them. So, Chad, final thing. I think I already said the other thing would be the final thing, but Razorback hockey. I've got to mention them as we are the self proclaimed number one podcast for Razorback hockey. Any chance that this weekend you can make it out to see them play weekend, Missouri State at the Jones Center?
For times on it.
It is.
Do you know a good website of if someone around in this area wanted to go watch them, like timing and everything? Because like I feel like the schedule just showed like the picture, didn't have like details. You know where that's at?
Okay. arhockey.westernchl.com. Okay, we'll repeat that. arhockey.westernchl.com. You can just Google Razorback hockey and it'll pull up. But that is their, you know, unofficially official website. Let's see here for the schedule. Let's click the little button. Okay, they are playing Friday, October the 11th at 7:30 p.m. They are playing Saturday at 3:05 p.m. So you get a little afternoon action. And then they're not playing again until the 19th, which is the next weekend. And they're playing Mighty Michigan in Michigan. Don't think we're going to that game.
I mean, it's only $5 for me to go here. Definitely want to. I want to take one of the kids too because I think they'd love that. Yeah, I mean, you know, Saturday at 3:00, I'm gonna try to make it out there.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess the Friday night game will be a little bit more packed, you know, just because people are looking for stuff to do on a Friday night. But you know, when you have a young family, sometimes those Saturday afternoon games are kind of prime time for you to get away or bring your kids, you know, after their afternoon nap. Well, fun stuff. Well, hey, do you want to challenge me to get something from Kentucky, some kind of footage, some kind of soundbite, anything? Ooh, yeah. What should I go for? Should you give me a challenge when I'm at Kentucky?
That's a great question.
I'm scared asking you that because you're going to ask me to do something terrible.
I have a great one. You're not going to do it. I'll challenge it though. I want you. Well, first, have you ever started a hog call at a hog sporting event? Have you ever been the one to start it?
No, I don't think so.
It's exhilarating. Someone has to start it right outside of not the cheerleaders, especially on a away game. It is fun. I've started my share of hog calls, as you could probably imagine. I want you to try to start a hog call, obviously not deep in enemy territory. I mean, I'm sure they're pretty laid back about it. It's Kentucky. They care about basketball. See if you can get some old fellow hog fans and get them started on a hog call, you know, see if you can do it. I guarantee you can do it, but I challenge you to try.
All right. If I do, I've got to record it on my phone so that I have evidence of me doing it.
Absolutely.
And have to provide that. And
I'm
not expecting me to sit near Arkansas fans, like in the away section. So if it's in the game, I'm expecting not to have a lot of hog fans around me, which might even make it better, possibly. But if not, we can try to figure out some place to do it that makes sense. I don't know if we'll eat before the game or something like that. We'll figure out.
Yeah.
We'll figure out some place good to try it and hopefully not make a fool of myself.
Oh, man. But like, I'm just picturing you by yourself calling the hogs and no one else joining in. This really
just cold
a lot.
I envision myself in like a blizzard in that stadium this Saturday. I don't know. It's not going to be that cold, but it's going to be cold enough. I'm like, no fans there for either team. Just me calling the hogs myself.
It's not going to be Arkansas Ole Miss cold that we were at last year.
Ooh, yeah, that one was rough, but it was fun. I look back with great fondness on that time.
That was
even though we lost. I feel like that was a, I earned a badge. I don't know what badge it is, but I earned some kind of like hardcore Razorback fan badge for sitting through that whole game. Literally didn't sit down once because it was more comfortable to stand than sit on the cold bleachers.
I had two pairs of gloves on.
That reminds me. I've got to bring my poncho. You've got, just in case it rains. That's those things become worth so much money or like so valuable. They're like plungers. The second you need a plunger, it's the most valuable thing in the world to you. But before you need it, it's like the most worthless thing to you, you know?
Blake's ponchos. Family hooked us up. Another shout out. Shout out to Blake's family for giving us ponchos. Or me a poncho. I think you already had one.
Yeah.
All right, yes. Tommy. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. And go Hogs. Go see some hockey. I'll see some football, and we'll report back.
Woo pig.
Woo pig. Next up, let's talk about our famous Arkansan of the week. And this week, I've decided to yet again choose something a little bit different, and we're going to highlight a whole city in Arkansas this week, and that city is Yellville, Arkansas. Now, I'm sure most, if not all of you, have never heard of this city, and that's okay. It is very small, and it has a very unique tradition, and that is why I'm selecting it this week. The tradition is actually occurring this upcoming weekend. And I'll get into all of that later. But let's just start out with a little bit of facts, figures about Yellville, Arkansas. So first, where is it located? It is at the northern part of the state, kind of north central part of the state. It's located in the Ozark Mountains along the banks of Crooked Creek. And it neighbors another small town called Summit to the north. The last census data that I could find had a population of 1,204 people in this town, and apparently, the town was originally called Shawneetown. Now, the name Yellville came from a man named Archibald Yell, who was the first member of the United States House of Representatives from Arkansas, and he was Arkansas's second governor. And you'll find other mentions of this Archibald Yell in other parts of the state, including Yell County, Arkansas, and Archibald Yell Boulevard in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So what makes Yellville a unique place or noteworthy? Well, it's actually an annual tradition that has been going on since 1945. It is their annual Turkey Trot Festival. So what occurs at this Turkey Trot Festival? Probably the most noteworthy thing is they have something that they call the Turkey Drop. Now, I'm sure your imagination might be already running wild, but it started in 1945 by somebody throwing a turkey off the roof of the Marion County Courthouse. And I guess over the course of time, that has escalated with the increased availability of aircraft, let's say, to where now they drop turkeys out of airplanes. Live turkeys out of airplanes near town square. And as you can imagine, this has caused a lot of people to have strong opinions about it. Apparently, Arkansas Game and Fish can't really do anything about it because the turkeys are deemed pets. So I guess that means it's okay to throw pets out of airplanes. I guess. I don't know any other way to take that, but it definitely is occurring. And it's happening this weekend. As you can imagine, this tradition has long been criticized by basically anybody who's heard about it. It doesn't really make sense to a lot of people on a surface level. Apparently, it was initiated back in the day to repopulate the wild turkeys in the area. I can't explain what that means or how that works or all the ideas there or rationale behind that, but apparently that was the reasoning. Now, it seems, though, through the course of time, the need for this and likely the way it's being done, it has changed, and it's really no longer necessary. We'll just put it that way. So the turkey drops have really, you know, the community has kind of moved away from doing the drops officially. And in fact, in 2011, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, as most people refer to them, offered a $5,000 reward for the arrest of any citizen who is found dropping these live turkeys during the festival, because that's kind of what's happened, you know. As we all know, people love to hold on traditions and don't like people to tell them that they can't do something, and so whenever you remove a tradition, you always have rogue citizens step up and continue the tradition anyway. So people were still dropping these wild turkeys or these live turkeys during the festival, and no one really knew who exactly, never got in trouble. In 2015, though, for the first time in 8 years, a pilot dropped turkeys from a plane during the festival, eliciting cheers from the crowd. The airplane turkey drops were again performed in 2016. Two turkeys were actually killed in that one. Apparently, people were able to see the plane these were dropped from and link them to a specific individual, a pharmacist. Again, in 2017, another plane had turkeys dropped from it, and they again found that person. And there were all kinds of threats about this person losing their airplane license and all kinds of things. So clearly, the community was trying to do things to stop this. And then finally, in 2018, the Yaleville Chamber of Commerce announced that it would no longer continue to serve as organizer of the festival, citing, quote, safety concerns, rising costs, and loss of funding. And so the Mid-Marion County Rotary Club later that month voted to take over ownership of the whole festival, but they would guarantee that no turkeys would be dropped from airplanes. So it seems that 2017 was the last drop of live turkeys that will happen. Apparently, if there are any more that are dropped, no one will sponsor the festival anymore. It seems like the Rotary Club is kind of the last people to give any grace here. And so hopefully there's no rogue citizens that mess this festival up for everybody. I mean, obviously people come in, drive in from various places. You know, anytime you have an annual festival that's been going on this long, it's a big deal to that community. And to lose it would probably make a lot of people pretty angry. So we'll see, though. Maybe 2019 we have another rogue pilot. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm not endorsing anybody doing that. In fact, I think that's pretty dumb. Yaleville, Arkansas. I salute you today as the famous Arkansan of the week. Not necessarily for the good you do, but maybe just for being unique and a little out there and at least kind of noteworthy. Well, that is everything I have for you today. Thanks so much for listening. As always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @humble_podcast. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at @HardToBeHumblePodcast. You can also leave any of your thoughts, questions, comments, ideas on the podcast phone number at 615-392-0107. And as always, I'm going to leave you with one final thought. As Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially when you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Y'all have a great week. Let's beat some Missouri State in hockey. Let's beat some Kentucky Wildcat in football. Woo pig.